What's up, everybody? Welcome to N Express. I'm your host, Tim Mason. Joining me, as always, are Ricky D and Patrick Murphy. Say hi, Ricky.
What's up, Tim?
And say hi, Patrick.
I like that you specified this time, Tim. That made it a lot easier.
Yeah, look how much power I have, though. I can control you both, make you speak. You're my puppets. Totally kidding. But we have a really exciting episode for you guys. We just got a Nintendo Direct all about ARMS with a tiny bit of Splatoon at the end that we're going to talk about in our final segment. Our main segment today is all about our E3 predictions. Now that it's so close, we're all getting crazy excited. And to start the show, Ricky, you've been playing a lot of NBA Playgrounds, and you wanted to share a little bit about that. Patrick and I were kind of curious. How are you liking?
Actually, I kind of love it. At first, I was a little worried because, okay, so the thing is, when you pop the game in, first of all, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a spiritual successor to NBA Jam, and it's so much like NBA Jam, but it's actually harder than NBA Jam. And I mean, like, this game is actually kind of hard. There's, like, a learning curve. And a lot of people gave this game sort of, like, negative reviews. Like, I think Polygon gave it, like, a 4 on 10. Not that I care about review scores, but it was fairly negative, right? And I think, like, the thing about this game is it is a little tricky, and it is hard, and it takes a while to get used to the controls and setting up an alley-oop. But once you do, I actually think in some ways it's a lot better than NBA Jam. And what I do like about this game, I was talking to my nephew about this because he's, like, a huge baller too, and him and I, we play NBA 2K, like, I don't know, like 300 hours per year type thing. What I do like about the game is when you load up the game, you're only given, I think, like 10 players to begin with. So you're given like these like it's like a pack of trading cards. And so you open up the pack and you get your five players. And I think they give you like a second pack right away. So right away off the bat, you got like 10 players to choose from. And that's kind of cool because at first you're kind of like, oh, I want to play with Clyde Drexler or I want to play with Dominique Wilkins or whoever, right? But it actually gives you more of a reason to keep playing. Like there is motivation for you to play a whole entire tournament because when the tournament ends, most likely you're going to be able to unlock an extra like 15 characters. And when you unlock the characters, you can unlock a card of a player that you already have. But if you do, like let's say for example, I have Chris Mullin and I unwrap my deck of like five playing cards and Chris Mullin pops up again. What it does is it increases the stats of my Chris Mullin character. And so that's what's cool about it. So not only do you play the game to unlock all of these bonus characters, of which there is like I think like 100, and they're going to release like hundreds apparently, like tons and tons of like players are going to get released throughout the year, which is exciting because we still do not have Michael Jordan, we don't have Dr. J, like there's Sean Kemp, you know, there's a bunch of key players that are still missing, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley, etc., etc. But also you get to build your character, like you boost his stats each and every single time you win. And even if you lose, you still boost his stats. And I think that's really cool because it's kind of different than, say, NBA 2K, where you get your game, you get the players, and these are the stats given to those players, and that's it. That's what you get. Here, you kind of have to work for your player to become, like, one of the best on the playground. So I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I think it's a perfect game to play on the Nintendo Switch, and I purposely bought it on the Switch so I can play it on the go. So, for example, like today at school, I have an hour break, and I don't need an hour to eat lunch. Like, it takes me 5 minutes to eat lunch. So I spent, like, 45 minutes playing NBA Playgrounds instead of just, like, sitting there, like, staring at a wall or at a clock, right? So that's pretty cool. I think if you like NBA Jam, I think you should like this game. Yes, it's a spiritual successor. Yes, it's pretty much like a clone of NBA Jam, so it's not revolutionary. Like, it won't be groundbreaking in any way. But it's really fun. And I think the only downside is they had to, well, they didn't have to, but they sort of, like, wanted to release the game during playoff season. And so the game isn't really finished. You know what I mean? Like, you can't play online. And I would love to play, like, we've been talking about this on Slack all week long. Like, we really want to set up an NBA Playgrounds tournament for the writers at Goomba Stomp to play online. But we can't because I don't know when they're going to release the online mode, but it does not exist as of yet. So there's things that I think are missing in the game, but we know they are coming. At least we hope they are based on what I've heard. And I think once we get all of those bonus features, it's going to be a lot of fun to play this game, especially with friends. Setting up an online tournament. I mean, it's just like, I mean, did you guys ever play NBA Jam?
Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, like,
a lot.
I used to go, I mean, there's three games I used to play at the arcade almost daily, like after school or at lunchtime. It was Street Fighter II, Mortal Kombat, and NBA Jam. And I put in more money into NBA Jam than Street Fighter II or Mortal Kombat, because you know in Street Fighter II, Mortal Kombat, if you win, you don't have to like pop in another quarter, right? You just keep playing. NBA Jam, once the game's over, you have to pop in another quarter. Just, even if you win or lose, you have to pay for the next game, right? So I put in more money into NBA Jam than any video game ever. Like, be it a game that I purchased for my Nintendo Switch, which cost me like $92, or like Earthbound when I bought it for the Super Nintendo, which cost me $125. Like, I put in, God, guys, I must have put in like at least $500 into this game playing at the arcades every single day. I love NBA Jam. I don't know, man. I like it. I like the animation. I like the style. I like the look. I like the fact that you can play in five different cities, from Tokyo to Paris to New York, and they all have like a specific theme to it. Like when you play in Paris, you got like the colors of the French flag that are painted on the actual basketball court, and you have like French music playing in the background. I really, really think this is a great game, and I think it's getting unfair reviews. Like, I'm all for criticism, but it feels like people are being harsh on the reviews of this game because they just suck at playing the game. And granted, it's no, seriously, like I was talking to Andrew about this, who wrote up a great review on our website. And it's not one of those games that you're going to pick up and master within half an hour, but that's a good thing.
Now, I read Andrew's review, and one thing that I was curious about is he seemed to mention that shooting itself, just shooting the ball, was a more complicated process or a more timing-based process than it has been in something like NBA Jam, for instance, which was pretty, yeah, I mean, it was a two-button game, you know, at times. Is that the case here? Is it difficult to even figure out how to shoot the ball?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm winning most of my games based on my three-point shooting. So I'm really good at shooting the ball from outside, from like far range. The thing is, it's all about timing, and I can't really tell you exactly when you're supposed to shoot. For me, it's just like I kind of like know, and I seem to be good at it. But I have noticed that, let's say like an NBA Jam, where you do one of your like gravity-defying like spectacular dunks, right? You hold the button, and you're going to dunk the ball unless maybe someone blocks you, right? It's rare that you, for whatever reason, miss the net. In this game, it doesn't work that way. So even if you're on a breakaway and you press like the B button or the A button, whatever it is, and you go perform your dunk, if you hold on to the button, you're going to miss the dunk because you're going to put in too much power. And so you're just going to overpower the dunk and the ball is going to bounce out, and or you're just going to miss. So there is timing for sure, even with a dunk, a jump shot, a three-point shot, you name it. It's all about timing. You use every single button on the actual Switch controller, although I'm playing with a Pro controller, but like every single button is used. It's not like NBA Jam where it's like A and B and plus like a joystick, right? You use everything, you know. You can clearly like steal the ball. You can push the player, and the dunks, like there's over 360 dunks in this game. I still have not yet seen every single dunk, and I've been playing like, I don't know how long I've played. I haven't played as long as Andrew, but you know, I pop it in. I play like two or three games, like maybe a tournament. And then I go about with my day. Maybe I'm at school, take a break, play like a tournament, you know? So for me, it's like the perfect game playing the Switch. It's the only thing I'm playing on my Switch right now.
Now, does it also have like any of those effects that NBA Jam had? Like, can you catch on fire, or are there any kind of weird, funky things, or is it pretty much just arcade basketball?
We gotta know. Is there like presidents you can play as? That was the best part. All the goofy characters.
Well, like I said, they're gonna release like hundreds of characters. So for all we know, they can release like a mascot. They can release like a Donald Trump player. Like they can release like a Beastie Boys. They can release Spider-Man, Wolverine. Who knows? They can also still release some of the legends that are missing in the game. Like I said, Jordan's not in the game, right?
Larry Bird.
When you're on fire, you're. I guess your hands are on fire. Like there is a glow, so you know no matter what you do, you will not miss the net. But the thing is, even if you're on fire, someone can still steal the ball. And so a lot of times I'm on fire and it doesn't matter because someone steals the ball, which is a wasted opportunity, because if I took a shot, no matter where I am, I'm going to like nail the shot, right? So the animation is similar to NBA Jam, not 100% precise. Like it's not exactly the same, but you know, they got the big heads. It's very colorful. Like it's funny, it's not even a game made by Nintendo, but it's got the same color palette as like Splatoon or ARMS, you know, like the neon purples and pinks and blues. It's so colorful. Like, it's a beautiful looking game. And I don't know, like, I for me, like, I'm a huge basketball fan. And so it's refreshing and fun. And I just love the fact that I'm playing a basketball game on a Nintendo console, finally, after, like, years, guys. Like, when's the last time I played a basketball game on a Nintendo console?
Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball on the Super Nintendo.
Wait, didn't...
It was awesome.
Didn't N64 have an NBA Jam?
They did,
yeah. Yeah, right? Okay. That's where I played it, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we made that mistake a while back on the podcast when we were talking about our favorite, like, Super Nintendo games. And I made a mistake of saying that I played NBA Jam on the Super Nintendo, but it was released on the N64.
See, that's the only version I had played. It's the N64 version. So I was like, oh, I didn't know it was that old.
It's a great version of the game.
But, so I've also heard the pacing is horrible for the game. That every time someone scores, the other team has to, like, return to their side. And there's just, like, unnecessary waiting for an arcade game.
Okay, that is so true. Like, so true. Like, to be fair, it's a second. But for whatever reason, that second feels like a minute. So if you score, you have to wait for your partner to pick up the ball. He goes to the sideline. You have to wait for the referee to blow the whistle. Then you can pass the ball. And I'm like, why?
That's annoying.
It's so stupid. It's the one major flaw of the game. Like, there are things that they will add to the game. There are things that they will fix. But I don't know if they're ever going to fix that. Like, I think that's there forever. I think it's permanent. Like, I don't see that being fixed within, like, a patch, for example. So, yeah, it's weird.
See, I've heard, like, you were talking about the you have to hold a certain amount of time to power up, even for, like, a dunk, and I've heard that's been getting on people's nerves. But I heard the biggest complaint from, like, all of the majority of reviews that I've read, at least, is just, like, the pacing. It throws the entire game off just when you're waiting to throw in a ball.
I'm not entirely sure what you mean by that. I mean, I think the only thing wrong with the pacing is the fact that you have to wait to inbound the ball after someone scores. I think the game moves fast.
But since basketball, you score so frequently, that time would add up, right? So that's like a lot of dead time. That's, like, if it was soccer, it wouldn't be a big deal. If it's basketball, that's forever, though.
Dude, if you're playing, say, tournament mode, and you get to the finals, and I think it's like a 4-minute game, and you score, say, 20 times, so you've wasted 20 seconds waiting to inbound the ball, guaranteed. Plus, the other team scores. So it sounds like I feel like a spoiled brat saying, oh my God, I have to wait 30 seconds of my life, you know, waiting around for this game to load up. You know, like, it's one of those first world problems. I mean, I feel like I shouldn't even be complaining about something so small. But I think, okay, I'll give you an example. Yesterday night I had the best NBA Playgrounds session by far. So I was playing with Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway, former Golden State Warriors, right? And I was actually losing by, I think, like 10 points. And I was about ready to give up. And all of a sudden, I blocked one of the players. I think I blocked Dr. J. Not Dr. J. Clyde Drexler. And then I scored like a 4-pointer. Because in this game, you can actually score 4 points. And then I blocked the player again. And then I scored 3 points. So now I was 3 points behind. And I ended up coming back. And then they came back. And I came back. And so it ended up being a tie. It went right down to the very second. But the pacing of that specific match was amazing. And I think that's the thing. I think because I'm getting better at the game, it's just a lot more fun. Because I'm pulling some amazing alley-oops. Yeah. And some incredible dunks. I'm just passing a ball more often than I did before. So I don't know. I personally love it. It cost me, I think, $25, and I think it's well worth it.
Wasn't it Reggie Miller that had that incredible eight points in like 7 seconds or something against the Knicks in those playoffs that one year?
What was it, 6 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. It was ridiculous. He, like, hit 2 threes, and then he got fouled and went to the line, and yeah, it was, and they were, you know, there were only 6 seconds left in the game. That was the, or 10 seconds left in the game, something like that. It was crazy. Too bad. They do need to get Reggie Miller in here. I thought I remember you saying that they hadn't had Miller in a basketball game in a long time. He's one of those players I always loved.
Yeah, Reggie Miller is awesome. Reggie Miller's not an NBA 2K. Neither is Charles Barkley. Well, he hasn't been an NBA 2K in quite some time. I think it's been a few years. I think with Barkley, like, he said that it's because, I think, I could be wrong, but if you are a retired basketball player, they do not give you royalties. So only the players that are currently in the NBA actually get money out of it. I don't know if that's true or not. Reggie Miller, I'm not sure what his deal is, but there are some players, like, I mean, the recent edition of NBA 2K 17 does not have Steve Nash, which is shocking because Steve Nash is in NBA 2K 16. He's one of the best players to use. So it's like, I don't know if they do it on purpose. Like, every year they take away certain players so you'll buy the next installment. So, like, this year you're going to get Barkley. Oh, you want Steve Nash? Well, you're going to have to buy it again next year. We'll give you Steve Nash, but we're not going to give you Jordan. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. But I can't wait to see what this game's going to be like by the end of the year. Like, with more players, more playgrounds. Who knows? Maybe more dunks. Maybe a better soundtrack.
Online.
Yeah.
Once they finally get online going.
Yeah. And the actual draft, like the lottery pick system, I kind of like it. Like, I like the idea of just not knowing who you're going to get next. So every time you finish a tournament, like, you know, the first thing I do is I go to my cards and I want to, like, unwrap one of my packs. And I'm, like, so excited to see who I get, you know. So, like, yesterday I got Clyde Drexler, Anthony Hardaway, and Dominic Wilkins, like, three of my favorite players of all time. But prior to that, like, I got nobody I liked. Like, I was getting all Boston Celtics players, and I don't like the Celtics. I'm a Lakers fan.
I noticed you were quiet when I said Larry Bird. That is a good incentive, though, for continuing to play if they keep rewarding you with more and more packs. That's actually a smart way to do it. And I love that when you get a duplicate, it still does something, because there's nothing more frustrating than getting a duplicate when you're trying to collect things that randomly appear.
You should play Overwatch, Patrick.
I have seen those people open their gifts or whatever. Oh my god, I can't believe people pay money for some of that stuff.
Anyway, so you heard it from Ricky. Worth the money. Also, check out our review on Goomba Stomp right now, just for a second opinion. It sounds like everyone at Goomba Stomp is in favor of the game, so we're not putting out any bad reviews here. Yep, get your Switch while you can. Hopefully sooner rather than later, those things will be in stock. But I guess for everyone else, just keep waiting. I don't know.
They're in stock in Montreal, guys. I don't know what's going on in the States. There's tons of Switches everywhere.
Keep the faith. You can get them. My brother just got one a few days ago. So you got to sign up for alerts for one thing. But just be aware. Keep looking.
Dude, send me some red and blue Joy-Cons.
Oh, they don't have red and blue Joy-Cons. I actually wanted to buy an extra set of Joy-Cons. We do not have any Joy-Cons. Like, it's funny. We have the Switch. Like, I went to Best Buy. Last time I checked, they had, like, about 12 on the shelf. God knows what they have in the back room. They had, I don't know why, 200 copies of Zelda. They have, they have, like, 12 copies of the Switch, like, 12 units in your store, and you have 200 copies of the game. Like, how does that make sense?
That's how Zelda has outsold the Switch.
But who's buying copies of Zelda if they do not have a Switch?
They're buying the game, I guess, before they get the console, just so that they have the game when they get the console. I don't know.
All right, moving on.
Yep, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our E3 predictions. Don't go anywhere.
Before the arenas and the crowds and the shoe contracts. Before the private jets and the Ferraris and the fame. Before anyone knew my name, they knew my game. On the playground.
Welcome back to NXpress. We're at our main event, our E3 prediction, I guess, segment. We've been doing this for a while now where we predict what's happening at E3, but now we're giving it a full segment where we're all going to share our predictions as it pertains to Nintendo, because that's what the show's all about. So we have to talk about Nintendo and what they're going to bring. And hopefully we don't just say Super Mario Odyssey, because they've already clarified that that's there. So none of that. But Ricky, I know that you have some predictions. You always have predictions, and you're going to say something about how you're always right. So let's start with you.
Okay, we're going to do one at a time, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I don't think there's going to be any surprises at E3. I think Nintendo's going to focus on what they said they're going to focus on, which is games getting released in 2017. I know that isn't very exciting. I know it kind of sucks if they do this, but I think that's exactly what they're going to do. We're going to get a lot of Splatoon. We're going to get a touch on ARMS. We're going to get Super Mario Odyssey for like 30 minutes.
Wait, you think they're going to touch on ARMS when it comes out that week?
Briefly, like maybe not during the digital event, but
they maybe are... like that. The DLC or something?
Well, they are doing the ARMS tournament, right? A few days later. Yeah. So they're going to have to at least mention the tournament.
Yeah, and it'll be on the show floor, obviously, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, all of these dreams of, like, a new Earthbound or a second Metroid game and or Pokemon on the Switch and whatever you guys are dreaming for, it's not happening, guys. I'm sorry. Like, they're honest to God, they're gonna focus on the games that they have coming out. We might get something on Xenoblade 2, maybe some extra footage. I'm not expecting anything big. Like, I was trying to think of this. I was like, okay, if they did have a big game getting released in 2018, like Metroid or something, like, would they at least show a trailer? And I don't think they will. And I think, like, the thing is, like, look, they just had a direct yesterday, which we're gonna talk about after the break, on ARMS, right? Like, they don't need E3. Like, they could do it whenever they want. Like, they can have these digital events whenever they want. So why are they going to cram a bunch of stuff into E3 when they're not really prepared to show anything? Like, I mean, so I guess the thing is, like, Tim, for example, as much as I love Sony, you always complain about Sony showing footage of games that get released like 10 years later, right? Would you prefer
Microsoft Nintendo does the same thing too, but yeah.
Okay, well, would you prefer that Nintendo teases us and gets us excited for something that's not going to come out for another 2-3 years, and or plays it safe and just shows us what we're going to get in 2017. I mean, it's always nice to get some, you know, some idea of what the future holds in store for Nintendo, and I would love to see Metroid and or Earthbound or Pikmin or something coming to the Switch. I just don't see it happening.
See, but I disagree with you there. I feel like this is when people that aren't as, I guess, enthralled with the industry as we are, turn their heads and look. It's like where they're going to get the most press coverage. To not announce a couple of new games, especially if you are going to be getting new shipments of the Switch with like ARMS and eventually Splatoon, then it's just a wasted opportunity. So I think they are going to be announcing maybe not like a brand new Metroid game. And I think Nintendo's been doing a way better job of just keeping it close to the release window. Granted, they were saying that they were doing that, and then they accidentally, like, pushed Zelda back a whole bunch. So it's not always perfect, but still, we waited, what, 2 years max for Zelda?
But what did they do last year? Last year, all they had was Zelda. They did exactly what they said they would do.
They announced games. They still announced games. Ever Oasis got shown for the first time.
Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
They brought Zelda, but they show off new games during their direct. What do they call it? Digital presentation.
They just didn't show Switch games because they had the Switch coming out and they didn't want to reveal everything at E3. It would have been nice if they did, obviously, I think, but they didn't want to for their own reasons. They wanted to control that. I think they could announce something that is going to release in early 2018, though. It's not out of the realm of possibility that.
Well, I think that's Xenoblade 2.
Maybe. Because
they've already announced Xenoblade 2. Like, yeah. The thing is, they've announced a bunch of games back in, when was it, December? When they actually revealed the Switch?
Yeah, okay, so
when they revealed the Switch for the first time, they announced, like, NBA 2K, they announced FIFA, they announced Sonic, they announced Xenoblade, they announced Fire Emblem. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they announced in January that we still have not seen footage of, or posters, or box art, or game footage, or there's enough there to cover an entire digital event. Apart from what we saw during the Switch reveal, I don't think we're going to get anything new.
Well, see, and that January presentation is why I think they will reveal new games, because they did announce Xenoblade 2 when it may not come out until 2018, at least in the West. And they did announce other games that were a little ways off. Like, they announced that there would be a Fire Emblem Switch, but they didn't really say what the title was or how what it was going to be about or anything like that. They just announced that it would happen. So, and that's most likely 2018 as well. So I can see them announcing a couple of things just to get people excited that will happen sometime in 2018. You know, maybe they're mid 2018 releases or something like that, that they're pretty sure are going to release around then. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went as far as holiday 2018, but that's just it. That'll be their language. It'll not be precise. That's not Nintendo. Everything's going to be spring 2018 to summer 2018, and then maybe one big game for holiday 2018. So
going a year out isn't out of the ordinary for them. And about a year out puts you at mid 2018, and I think that it's possible. There are going to be games coming out mid 2018 that we have not heard of yet.
Okay, so sorry, I'm saying within a year, because that is according to Nintendo's press release. So within a year brings us to
mid-2018.
Right, okay, so that makes sense, but still.
It's going to be, here's my prediction, it's going to be Animal Crossing that shows up. Because we've got Mario coming out, we've already got Zelda coming out. Now we need another big main series game to come out to say, like, hey, everyone, we're making games for our new console, and here's one that has like a little bit more of a niche audience, but it's still a huge hit.
So you're saying Animal Crossing for Switch?
Yeah, we know I think Animal Crossing game. Switch is coming out, and I think they're going to start talking up the mobile experience or whatever it's going to be.
Okay, I can get behind that. Animal Crossing does seem doable, like because they are releasing a mobile game for Animal Crossing the series. That makes sense. Still don't think it's going to happen. Patrick, what's your prediction?
All right, so my prediction is that and this is obviously a loaded one. We kind of say, you can kind of almost say this one every year as well, except I think it is fairly realistic right now, just because there's been rumblings surrounding this. But I think we'll finally get a chance to see what Retro has been working on. I do not think it's Metroid, because the series producer for the 3D Metroids has basically, he's already confirmed that they had not been working on another Metroid Prime. So, I think we're finally going to get to see what Retro is doing. They've been working on something for quite a while. 2014, I believe, is when Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out. And I know they've helped with other games, but they've obviously had something going on. They just hired the composer from Deus Ex, I believe. And, you know, which is a serious... The guy obviously makes music for serious themed games. So I think we're going to be seeing something from whatever they're working on. Obviously, probably not playable. And that's one of those games that make... that'll probably come out in 2018, but I think that we'll see it, whatever it is. And I'm betting that it's going to be a new IP.
You think it's a new IP? You don't think it's more Donkey Kong?
No.
What if it was 2D Metroid? What if
it's
it was
not
going
to be Metroid? Everybody wants it to be, but man,
if it was 2D? That seems less labor intensive than an immense 3D shooter.
You're getting people's hopes up and you're going to break their hearts again. Guys, we're not getting Metroid. Maybe, like, who knows when we'll get the next Metroid.
Wait,
they just did Federation Force. Who knows?
Hear me out. What about Federation Force 2?
Too soon for that. Too soon on so many fronts, Tim.
Wait.
They won't do Federation Force 2.
Other M? Wait, no, the sequel, Other N.
Oh, God. Okay, moving on. My next prediction. I think we're going to get something big from a third party like Square Enix, and that's going to blow everyone out of the water. But we will get a lot of third party support, or maybe not a lot, but some big names. Like, I see Square Enix dropping some big names for Nintendo. Maybe not specifically during the Nintendo digital event. Like, I'm not sure if Square Enix is going to do their own thing this year, but you never know. Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, 7, 10, 15, 20, the whole lot. Who knows? But.
What was that? They already, like, teased that one game, like Octodad Pentagram or whatever the hell it's called.
Octopath Traveler. That one's definitely coming out.
Dude, I see Square Enix announcing, like, at least 5 games for Nintendo Switch.
Because they love to announce games and then never release them.
Exactly. But that's my prediction.
That's a pretty good one, actually. Tim?
I just gotta take a different route. What I would love to say is I think that they'll announce a new Pokemon, but let's be honest, Pokemon does that on their own nowadays. They're like hardly associated with Nintendo at all. So that's not going to happen at E3. But I do think that it's quite possible Nintendo gives us some new like versions of hardware, not like more like storage. I doubt that, But maybe some new Joy-Cons. Like, did you guys see that Europe is getting Europe and Japan are getting Splatoon-themed stuff? Like, color pink and green Joy-Cons, and then, like, a new Pro controller? And so I think they're going to announce something for the U.S., but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, hey, look out for these cool Mario Odyssey Joy-Cons in whenever that comes out, November or something.
But mm-hmm. okay, like maybe during the Treehouse event.
I think if they're showing off Odyssey, if they're going to give us a new trailer for Odyssey, I think they're going to end it with like, and coming up, because they did, like, think about it. The last, not the latest Direct, but the Direct before that, they were talking about ARMS, and they're like, and yellow Joy-Cons. They just kind of throw it in, and it gets mm-hmm. people all hyped. I think they're going to do it with Mario Odyssey. I think like, we're going to get, like, red with maybe, like, the M, and then on the other side, it's going to have that, like, little hat with eyes. So that's what I'm expecting. Like, the first, I guess, with, like, decals as opposed to just new colors.
I could see that happening. I mean, like you said, it would just be something they would tack on at the end of the trailer. Like, oh, it'll be coming out as a bundle with this or blah, blah, blah. I mean, obviously, they're going to make a Mario Odyssey bundle at some point, if not upon release. But I can see them announcing the Joy-Cons as well. They're going to have there're going to be so many different Joy-Cons over the course of the Switch's life.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be impossible for everybody to keep up.
But if we're just going for, like, realistic predictions, I think we're going to get shown some more Joy-Cons. They're going to flash us with a new pair of Joy-Cons.
Sure, I can see that. Now, I don't believe that it's been confirmed that Nintendo's... Are they revealing their virtual console stuff at E3? I don't know that that's been...
Everyone's, like, like whispering about that, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I think they
have to do it, and I think they definitely will do it, because that has been... That's getting asked so much. What is going on with virtual console? They have to do it at E3. I mean, there's no better time to do it. I think they're going to come out with a bang. I think they're going to have GameCube games on there. Finally, which everybody's been demanding, and I know that there's some complications with putting GameCube games on there, you know, simply because the controller for the GameCube was different. It had analog triggers, and games were designed around that, and the Switch doesn't have that. But I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to announce Virtual Console. Of course, they're going to have all the usuals on there, but I think they're going to announce that there will be GameCube games coming. I don't think any will be available at the start of it, though. I think you'll just get your basics at the start, Super Nintendo and Nintendo.
But, like, with the Wii U, I have my GameCube controllers that I can use on my Wii U with the adapter. Mm-hmm. So they could just, like, release an adapter. But the thing is, how many people actually have GameCube controllers?
That's the thing. They have to start selling GameCube controllers. And then you're buying, which they do, obviously. I mean, they did that for the Wii U. They re-released GameCube controllers. Did they not? Or they at least had third parties able to make them.
Yeah, I got the Smash one.
Yeah, so it's possible that they could do that. I mean, that's just more accessories to buy for your Switch. It's starting to become sort of a very Wii-like in the amount of accessories that you can get for it.
Okay, well, so it's a perfect way for me to segue into my third prediction, Tim, because do not expect any announcement of Super Smash or Smash port for the Nintendo Switch. It's not happening, and it's clear as day as to why. Like, they can't announce Smash 4 days before ARMS gets released. They just can't do it.
No, I agree. I think that's...
Yeah, totally, no, I think they're all in on ARMS now.
Yeah, like, for sure. Like, I know they're going to be releasing the Amiibo shortly, like, I think around E3 time. So we're going to get Bayonetta and Cloud finally, but I do not see Smash being ported to the Nintendo Switch until maybe, if we are lucky, Christmas time. But it can't be that soon.
Which is fine, honestly. Like, we don't need another major port in the first... If Smash comes to... You know, I don't know if they're going to be working on a Smash for a while anyway. But if Smash comes early next year or, you know, mid-next year or something like that, and it just sort of comes out with less fanfare than other stuff has gotten. You know, because by then we should be focusing on new games anyway. Not a port of an excellent game, but still a port, you know, of a game that you can play on two different systems already. So they need to go all in on ARMS. They need to make ARMS a success. They need to try to focus on that and make it like Splatoon. So it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think they're like... We'll talk about this in the next segment because we just had that Nintendo Direct, but I think they're really leaning into the ARMS is the new Splatoon. Here's Splatoon. I almost said here's Splatoon 2, but like here's the next cool new IP from Nintendo, which is awesome. Like all of a sudden we're getting these brand new ideas out of Nintendo. But yeah, I'm totally with you, Ricky. I think it'd be dangerous, and I also think I'm 100% with Patrick. Why show off old games this far? It sounds crazy, but like when we're months into the release of the Switch, we need to go heavy into like the here's the new experiences that are coming. Here's why you buy the Switch, not hey, now that the Wii U is probably cheaper, go buy that and play it there. You know? Yeah, I'm with you there. I can totally see that.
Do you have another one, Tim?
Yeah. So I, again, with like the tempering expectation, I think that we're going to get some sort of like, we're going to get the focus on some big games. I think we're going to get something like Animal Crossing and its mobile experience. I think they might even reveal like if there is going to be a Zelda mobile game that like Wall Street Journal's talking about, they might show off something like that too at the same time. Like, isn't that like a mobile minute? But I think a lot of the presentation is going to be like focused on, you know, some games that we already know exist, like Mario Odyssey, maybe a new Splatoon, but like a new Animal Crossing. But then the rest will be saved for like a sizzle reel that's just showing like some of the indies that are coming that we maybe haven't heard of. And I think that that's going to be like a lot of what they use to tide us over until Mario Odyssey comes. They're going to just show some of like the, it seems like they have this pattern, right? Like really, really big release and then indies to tide you over. And then big release, we're getting there now with ARMS and Splatoon. And then it's going to be like, we're going to get the next 4 or 5 months of indies in like a quick sizzle reel. And it's not going to be glamorous and no one's going to be like, oh, hey, that's cool. But in reality, those are going to be some of like the most fun games of the year. So
it kind of makes sense. I mean, look, Nintendo actually makes games, unlike, say, Microsoft. Like, they release games throughout the year. You want to make sure you spread out these games throughout the year. Like, imagine if, like, Nintendo were to get all the third-party support that Sony gets. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want it. Because, like, you wouldn't want to release Persona 5 on the same week you're releasing Zelda. You wouldn't want to release, like, Mario Kart 8 on the same day you're releasing, say, Resident Evil 5 and what's the big game that just came out recently? Anyhow, whatever. You get what I'm saying, right? Like, it just, because it takes away from people buying the Nintendo game for a Nintendo console.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their business model is totally different, which is, you know, all these people arguing that they need to go third party. It's, you know, there's truth to that. I'm oversimplifying here, obviously. But yeah, for Nintendo games to sell, and what company wants to go up against Mario Kart? This is one of the reasons they don't have third party support as well. It's sort of a chicken and the egg thing. Nobody wants to go up against Mario Kart. Nobody wants to go up against Zelda, not on a Nintendo console. So it doesn't even make sense for them to release their big game on that Nintendo console and put all that time and money into it. So I think it works out to everyone's benefit, you know, in various ways. And obviously, for the Wii U, Nintendo, I'm still sure turned a tidy profit from a lot of the games that are released on that. It would have liked to have done better, but I don't think it, you know, didn't do horribly financially.
In all honesty, they just need more indie games. Like, yep. Give us Undertale. Give us a game like Undertale, and we would be so happy. There's so many great indie games that they can release on a Nintendo Switch that would keep us busy until the next big Nintendo game gets released. And then I could go play my Uncharted, my Last of Us on my Sony PlayStation, and I would be happy.
Smaller studio, big studio games, you know. Every game doesn't have to be AAA, doesn't have to be a huge budget, doesn't have to be the next Call of Duty. You can make middle of the pack games. And
hey, Ricky, you want to bet he mentions Box Boy here?
We do need more Box Boys. I mean, that's those types of games which are made by Nintendo. I mean, I'd like to see Nintendo doing more of those, you know, and all their studios, like Intelligent Systems doing the push modes. Like, yeah, I want to see more of that stuff. I want to see more small $5 games that give me 20, 30 hours worth of play. I mean, that's that's amazing. Those aren't even indies, but
We did get some interesting indie games for the Wii U. We got The Binding of Isaac, which is also on Switch. We got Axiom Verge. We had What was that game? Oh, Runbo? That was a great game.
Severed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are lots of great indies. I just think that even big studios like, you know, Ubisoft and stuff like that, they can make smaller, they can make sort of mid-sized games as opposed to always having to be the next Assassin's Creed, which pushes the technological boundaries of a console, you know. You don't have to do that every time. You can make a game that's sort of in between that doesn't have the enormous budget. That's why the 3DS was such a great thing for Nintendo to have, because it didn't use up that many resources to develop a game for the 3DS. And you could, you know, you could pump those games out faster and they could still be really, really awesome games.
Patrick, it's your last prediction.
I think there will be one game. Now, obviously, like, I think August has Fire Emblem Warriors. So in my head, I've been trying to think out, you know, map out what games are coming out in which months and whether or not this is even really feasible. But I know that there are rumblings, and maybe this is just me giving some wishful thinking, but I do think Nintendo's going to get a third party, like, timed exclusive on something. I don't think anybody's going to give them a pure exclusive that's a big game, but I think they can get a time exclusive, and I'm going to go out and limb. This is my out and limb prediction that Beyond Good and Evil 2 will be a Switch exclusive, at least for a little while.
Oh my god, I would lose my mind. Okay, so you know how I said we all have three predictions, right? Well, I kind of lied. I have four. You ready for me to blow your mind?
Let's hear it.
So, at the start, I said that they would only focus on games that they're going to release this year, right? And I that is my first prediction. My last prediction is we're going to get Metroid this year.
What? No, we're not.
Let's move on.
Retro's game is Metroid?
Let's move on. This year, baby. This year.
Do you, okay, wait. 2D Metroid or 3D Metroid?
It's going to be a 3D Metroid. It's going to get released this year. It's got to be, because look, in all honesty, by the way, I don't think I've ever said Metroid ever before when we've done any of these like E3 predictions. But the reason why I'm saying it this year is because we didn't get Metroid for the Wii U. So for all we know, they've been working on a Metroid game for the last like 4 or 5 years, 6 years, God knows how long. And they were just holding off because they knew the Wii U was going to die. So they were just waiting to release it on the Switch. And so for me, it's kind of like if they've already done the work, there's no reason why they can't release it this year. I mean, can you imagine if Metroid and Super Mario Odyssey get released during a Christmas season and Nintendo Switch is already the hottest item on the market? It's going to like, it's going to be crazy.
You know, they're not releasing that close together.
One of the problems I see from that is then you then have Zelda, Mario Kart, major, you know, Super Mario title, and Metroid, like, and maybe Animal Crossing. You've got like every major Nintendo franchise all in the same year. I would love for that to happen. I do. I mean, I know that the producer of the 3D Metroid games, the Prime games, he's the guy that worked on Federation Force, and he said there wasn't another 3D Metroid in development at the time. He said he would know about it if there were. I mean, he wasn't coy about it. He said it wasn't. Oh, I guess he would say it wouldn't be developed. It hadn't started development for the Switch or anything like that. If they were going to do one. His answer was pretty convincing that what it left it open for was a 2D Metroid, of course.
Well, what if it's like, okay, I mean, okay, I'm saying Metroid, right? But what if, I mean, God, who knows what they're going to do? I mean, they could do Metroid the Submarine game.
There's a precedent set for this. Obviously, Metroid Prime was developed for the N64 originally, and then it got pushed back to the GameCube. So it's not like there's no precedent for that. I just don't know. I mean, Retro's obviously working on something, right? Obviously. And all their job postings point to a 3D game of some sort.
Okay, but the thing is, like, okay, even maybe Christmas is pushing it. It's too soon. But, like, within the year, like, by March, like, 1 year after the Switch gets released, there could be a Metroid game on the market. Because the Switch got released in March, right? Yeah.
And remember what Reggie said earlier this year. He said, when somebody asked him about Metroid, he said, talk to me next year. Next January, I think he said. So it's very, very possible. Nintendo knows how bad. They've poked fun at how bad people want Metroid. They do know it. I don't know. But you know what? We've been predicting. I don't know. I've hoped for Metroid at every E3. I can't hope anymore. I can't get my hopes up. If it happens,
it's like me in Kingdom Hearts 3. He's just like done.
Yeah, like why even bother getting your hopes up? Because they're just going to break your heart yet again. Ultimately, I feel like what Rick said in his very first prediction is probably going to be true. We're not going to get too many surprises or anything like that. So I think that's
going to be some. I think they're going to be some, and I think you're probably spot on with, like, if it's going to be third party, I still think it's, I don't know how the rights work out now, but I think Nintendo is the exclusive distributor of Bayonetta, so if anything, I wouldn't be surprised if 3 happens.
Well,
I'm not with your wishful thinking, Patrick. It'd be cool, but it's not happening.
Sega still owns Bayonetta, like the actual, they have the rights to the character and everything like that. Nintendo published the Bayonetta 2, so they have that game. So nobody can, like, Sega can't publish Bayonetta 2 without Nintendo's permission.
But I'm sure they could pay Sega for the same deal for Bayonetta 3, and
they absolutely could. Yeah,
if they announced Bayonetta 3, that'd be a great idea. It'd be cool third-party support.
I think Bayonetta 3 is a very realistic possibility. Yeah. I mean, they just released 1 and 2 on... Or they just released 1 on Steam, because they can't put 2 on Steam without Nintendo's permission. So, but they... Yeah, they've been, like, stirring the pot with Bayonetta, you know, lately. So Platinum has. I think Bayonetta 3 will happen. I don't think it's going to be at E3.
And you've got that amiibo. So, like, if anything third-party happens, I think it'd be Bayonetta. Because it's certainly not No More Heroes 3, because they clearly don't have anything for that game.
Will we see any footage on whatever the hell that Suda 51 is working on?
There's no question
for you.
No, I don't think we'll see anything. They'll release a title and, like, the graphic for the title in a big clump of other titles after the show. That'll be like things that are coming to Switch and Nintendo's new.
I will say this, Rick. There is an example of Nintendo, like, hyping a game that didn't even exist. They brought Suda 51 out on that stage to simply say that he had ideas for a Switch game.
But he gets super into their hardware. Like, he probably wanted to be there. He was, like, in love with the Wii and was like, I'm going to make something for this. So I wouldn't be surprised if he saw the Switch and was like, oh, this is rad. I've got ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we argued about that for like an hour. I think Nintendo was really desperate to bring out like third party support for that Nintendo Switch reveal. I think the point is that the Switch is selling well, and I'm gonna use the word need. I think they need a really good presentation at E3, because the thing is, like, I kind of feel like everyone who has purchased a Switch is a diehard Nintendo fan. I don't know many people who sort of, like, say, for example, play Sony PlayStation but don't own a Wii U have purchased a Switch yet. Like, I don't know one person personally. Like, for me personally, like, my friends and, like, circle of friends and family. So they still need to reach the audience that doesn't typically buy Nintendo hardware. And I'm sorry, there's still a lot of people that do not know what a Nintendo Switch is. It's not like the Wii. Like, it's a hot item, sure, but it's not like the Wii where, like, you know, you have moms and dads and grandpas and people who, like, come back from the grave to buy, like, the Wii because it's, like, the biggest thing on the market. Like, I'm sorry, the Switch isn't there yet. It could
no,
be.
No, not even close.
I think they're taking the right steps. There was a Super Bowl ad, which, I mean, millions of people saw that. So I think they're making the right steps. I think they just need the snowball to keep rolling, you know? Like, that's where we are. I won't say, like, they need to come out really strong at E3, but they need to give, like, those that have the console, they need to keep instilling faith and be like, look, there is new stuff in the works here. It's coming. So, like, keep talking about your Switch, and they need to excite new people, too.
The other thing is that there's a holiday season coming up, and that's when you get the moms and the dads and the grandmas and grandpas to make it aware. So they have time to build towards that, because in March, you know, people aren't thinking about getting consoles other than gamers, dedicated gamers. So, but by the time holiday season rolls around, you want everybody to know what a Switch is, because you want it to be the hot new thing at Christmas.
So we're going to take a break. Those are our E3 predictions. Very, very tame this year, you guys. Don't go too wild. When we come back, though, we're going to discuss the latest Nintendo Direct all about ARMS and Splatoon, so don't go anywhere.
Hey!
ARMS, more than mere limbs, capital ARMS, can extend like springs, an unusual ability shrouded in mystery. Is it hereditary, a mutation, or the result of extraterrestrial experimentation? We may never know. Historians have attempted to pinpoint the origin, but each attempt has ended in failure, as if held back by an invisible hand. Despite the mysterious nature of this ability, it's well known around the world that certain extraordinary individuals share this gift. Many of them are actually quite famous for using their extendable arms as professional fighters in the combat sport also known as arms. For some reason, none of these superstar fighters can remember the moment they first realized they had the arms ability. They just woke up one morning and bam, extendable arms. In fact, one of the arms fighters, Springman, had this to say. I was shocked at first, but having arms like this is actually pretty rad.
Welcome back to N-Express. We're at our final segment, a discussion of the latest Nintendo Direct, which was dedicated to arms with a touch, I guess, an appetizer of calamari, if you will.
Nice,
a hint of Splatoon at the end. But this, okay, this whole Direct, at first I was like, wait, are you seriously giving us the exact same Direct? Like, here's how you play the game, here are the characters. I watched this thing, and they were giving us some more detail. The whole time I was telling myself they must not be doing a global test fire and they're just going to hope that people watch this and that's enough. And I was wrong, thankfully, but that was my genuine fear as I watched them just continue to try to sell this game, giving us mostly the same details that we already got.
Well, they did a lot of the modes. They unpacked a lot of the modes, and it's a test punch, Tim, not a test fire.
Yeah, no,
that's
this
a
is
major
clearly,
difference. Major.
They are taking a page out of Splatoon's book for sure.
They have since day one. Look at the color scheme. Look at the palette. Look at the art direction. Like, geez, like look at the online mode. I mean, this game is built for an online community. It's like, God, are we going to keep getting games similar to Splatoon moving forward? So I've played this game. And I liked it. It was fine. You know, I only played with, I think there was like four characters I could choose from and only one mode. It was fine. I was a little uncertain if I want to buy it. The thing is, Tim, is this Direct, I think they actually did a really good job based on what they had. Like, I mean, they're promoting a game called Arms. It's like a fighting game with these like weird cartoonish characters with like colorful outfits. And it's like for what they had to advertise, like market, like try to sell on us gamers, I think they did like a really good job. They showed all of these characters. They showed a ton of new characters, of which there are some characters that I really, really do like Kid Cobra or King Cobra, whatever his name is.
Kid Cobra? Yeah, he was cool.
Or the green goo guy, like the slimy
Helix.
Guy.
Helix, right? Yeah.
Helix looks cool.
The one that's going to blow up, the one that's going to blow up is the pop star character. She's
totally with the hair. Hair. She's not arms. She's got to have her own spin-off.
This is false advertising. Let's sue.
Like, is this like a world in which people have superpowers and that...
Did you not watch the video, Ricky?
No, but half...
Like Splatoon,
half of,
we evolved.
No, but they say like we evolved like this race, like the human race evolved. And then I'm looking into the spectators and none of the spectators have huge arms. And then half of the competitors don't even have huge
people.
Arms. What?
One of the contestants, they clarified, like, just some people evolved to have stretchy arms. And, like, one of the contestants in the, what was her name? Like, Mechanica or something? She just has a mech. She doesn't have stretchy arms.
She's completely cheating, in other words.
It's just like X-Men. Like, some of them get cool powers, the rest of us suck.
Yeah, exactly. That is it. Yeah.
But she doesn't have powers. Like, she does not have powers. She's like Batman. She just has, like, cool gadgets.
So she should...
She should be disqualified, okay?
But
I agree. And the woman
rich.
With hair, too. She should be disqualified because it's not really technically arms. She's got her arms free because really she's got an extra set of tools there. Her hair punches and she can use her arms.
Have you ever seen the Japanese? Have you ever seen the Japanese film Hair Extensions by director Sion Sono?
No, but I know you love that director.
Okay, well, I think they got the idea from that movie. But anyhow, Tim, seriously, like I think they did a really good job with what they had. Like they did a good job of marketing it. I liked the presentation. I liked the commentator, even though he was a little cartoon blob at the side of the screen. Like he was entertaining. Like I'm sorry,
so
he was.
I'm not saying that I won't necessarily not buy the game. I really want to play it first. And so the fact that there is going to be a global test punch, whatever they called it, that was really good news to me. But this did sell me on the idea a lot more than the last video. And it's not that I was even against the idea, but it felt a little bit long-winded to me until about like halfway through when they were literally just throwing modes at us with like super, I felt like I was getting punched with information. That's where I was starting to get like really interested, because like I'm not a huge fighting game guy, and like the 2-on-2 could be a lot of fun for someone like me, like getting my friends together. I was like, yeah, that's cool. But I like, depending on the game, I just don't usually get that into fighters, and this looks just different enough that I could. But when they were like, oh yeah, and there's like basketball where you're dunking your opponent, I was like, yeah, no, that's great, that's amazing. The volleyball with explosives, that's just, that looks fun. The target thing, less into that, but like there is more of a game beyond just fighting. I think bodes really, really well for the game.
There's a lot. Yeah. Like they're giving us a lot. I mean, it's not like buying Street Fighter V, like, no offense. Like, I bought that game and haven't played it after like a week after I purchased it, because it was the same old thing. Like, I've been playing Street Fighter for like 20 years. And this game, like, you can, like you said, Tim, you can slam dunk your opponents into a basketball net. You can play volleyball. There's team fight. There's the fight mode. There's skill shot. There's 1-on-100, which... 1-on-100, like, I really want to play that. That looks interesting. But, yeah, and the characters are very unique. It's, you know, like, I mean, not to say that the characters in Mortal Kombat look like the characters in Street Fighter and they look like the characters in Tekken, but this is a, it's like a style. Like, it's like Overwatch meets Street Fighter meets Splatoon.
That's a pretty apt description right there. It's got a great style. And seeing more of the arenas too.
Wait, you didn't say Punch Out? Like, they are making it like the Splatoon meets Punch Out.
Punch Out was like a puzzle game, though, essentially. I don't know. Like, it doesn't remind me of Punch Out in the style, other than the fact that they have boxing gloves on. It doesn't really remind me too much of Punch Out. And it would be really cool if they have Little Mac as one of those downloadable characters in the future. But I think just like seeing all the different environments really helped sell me on this a little bit more. The modes, yes, and seeing how the arenas actually work, because everything looked really bland and basic. Not bland. Everything looked basic in the first direct. Yeah, this one.
That was the problem. Yeah, it was like a ramen bowl, right? They're like literally just in kind of like a bowl fighting.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was whatever. But this.
And now it looks like there's stuff to do in each one of these. There's ways to interact with the environments. And it also doesn't look as fast paced as I think they first tried to make it, which personally I like. I think that I like the idea of a fighting game more where I have to think and plan my moves out a little bit more, other than having to have quick reflexes and, you know, doing combos and things like that. I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at fighting games. Fighting game people will maybe have a different opinion on that. But for me, I liked what I saw, and that it seemed like a little more planning was involved. Make a game out of a fight as opposed to just a beatdown.
There's something to be said about like laying into an opponent, and when you're all done, they're still there to dish it back, rather than like, I've been playing For Honor because they just started their season 2, and there are times where I'll kill an opponent in like half a second, and I'm like, well, there's literally no consequence to this. This isn't a fight right now because I just did a rad combo and they couldn't even stop it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, and, you know,
I feel like there's something to be said about the slower pace. It's an actual fight. You know, you've got to go multiple rounds rather than just like wailing nonstop.
You know what I really like about this game? Like, I have played it. In this game, you have like Springman, Master Mummy, Min Min, Kid Cobra, like all of these characters. But they have to build all these characters that are completely different. Like, I don't think there's one character that seems similar in any way. Like, that's a lot of work.
They have a lot of similar gloves, but then they're not exactly the same. I mean, I think somebody did the permutations and how many different types of setups you can have, and it's like 9,000 or something like that, different types of setups with all the different characters and all the ways that you can configure their gloves. So there are a lot of different ways to play this game, obviously. I think there seems to be a lot of variety into, you know, how the fighters actually move and what their power level is and things like that. You can probably find something that's really, really good for you and that somebody else will think is terrible. Like, for instance, I doubt I'll like the Mummy very much because he's big and slow, but there are people who probably will really, really like that style and figure out a good way to play with that person. Yeah, I'm definitely thinking
like the total tank, like shields and heals.
Yeah, no, obviously, but I like movement and stuff like this. I like to be able to move because I'm going to be playing defense a lot of the time, and I want to be able to run away if need be. You know, he who fights and runs away can run away another day. So that's the way I'm going to do it.
I'm totally picking the ninja kid right away.
I might be going for a hair girl. Who is that? Ribbon girl. She's the one that can jump pretty high. I might go
for her. Yeah, she's like the triple jump. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the pop star hair girl too, because she can sort of dance around in the air.
Man, I'm trying to remember who I used when I went to the event in Toronto. Like, I know I played with Springman. I don't know if it was Master Mummy. It was like this huge, bulky guy, and he was amazing. He was like my favorite character that I used. But Springman, I found kind of boring. But, you know, we'll see. Like, I really, really want to buy the game at this point. I think it's all going to depend on my financial situation when it gets released. Like, because, you know, games here in Canada cost like $92, at least Nintendo games. So I might hold off. I might not buy it right away, but it is something that interests me, if only once again for the multiplayer modes. Like, I mean, it's like I do not buy a game like Mario Kart Deluxe to play 150 hours like I do Zelda. Like, I buy a game like Mario Kart so when people come over, I can easily pop in a game that we can all play. And so I might only get like 25 hours of gameplay with Mario Kart 8 this year, but it's still worth it in my eyes. Whereas, like, you're not always going to get a game that's going to give you 150 hours. Like, I see this game being one of those games that you're going to pick up, play with friends for maybe like an hour, you know, maybe play like a week later with your friends. Like, I don't know, like, it really depends on the online mode, right? Like, I mean, Tim, did you ever really get into like Pokken tournaments online mode? Did you like participate a lot, battle?
Yeah, for the big thing with Pokken was I was getting really into it, and I did do a lot of the online battling, primarily just playing Gengar. But it's one of those things where if a different game came, I think another game came out like the next month, and so I just kind of moved on. And there just like wasn't the draw back to it. So that's the big thing is like, is it going to be like literally something to tide me over a month or two until Splatoon comes out?
But see, here's the thing, okay? So I get what you're saying, because I feel the same way, too. Like, you buy a fighting game, you play it for, like, a week or two, and then you put it away and you start playing, say, Zelda, whatever else comes out. But I always feel like at the end of the day or at the end of the year, you still get your money's worth because you do return to the game in between, say, when you're playing two big AAA titles. Like, you do return to it, at least I do, even if it's only for, like, an hour or two. Like, I still play it. Like, I still play Mario Kart 8. I still play Smash. I still play Pokken Tournament all the time, especially if my older nephew comes over. Like, we always go straight to Pokken or Smash. Like, guaranteed, those games I can play on and on and on for, like, the next few years until they release, like, the next version. So you never know. Like, this could be a game that I might want to play on and off for, like, the next 2 years, and I will get my money's worth.
Well, and the thing about this game has two really, really strong selling points for me, and probably the reasons that I will end up buying it. Put aside all of like the originality, that's huge. Like, I'm super into original concepts, but put that aside, put away all the pretty presentation, put away the online mode. First of all, it's made by Nintendo, and that just, there's an unsaid quality assurance in that. If Nintendo makes it, it's going to run smoothly and it's going to play well. There are some rare exceptions, but for the most part, if Nintendo's pushing a game, it's going to be a quality experience. So that has me convinced that ARMS is going to be good. Secondly, the controls, like, correct me if I'm wrong, there's the motion controls though, and it's a relatively simple experience to pick up, right, Ricky? So you know who I can get to play this? My wife. So right there, I have another set of Joy-Cons. I have someone to play with. Even if it's just casual with my wife, that's a big seller right there. If you have kids, here, your kids can play this. Sure, they're going to be punching each other in real life in the end. But still, I mean, it's a Nintendo game. Let's be real. You've all played Smash and Mario Kart, right? If it doesn't end in a fist fight, you're not playing right. But it's still like an easy opportunity for that co-op experience. And so I think that's what's going to really push me over the edge. Like, granted, it looks like it's getting the full Splatoon treatment. We can talk a little bit about that and how exciting that is. But what's going to sell me is like, yeah, it's Nintendo. It's going to be awesome for that reason. And I can, this is a game that my wife would be willing to play, which Pokken Tournament, forget about it. That's combo based. She's out immediately.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it has a target audience, and the target audience I think is kids. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's like for 7-year-olds, but I think I think like they're like when you say target audience, when you're talking about marketing, like you're picking as you know a gender, an age, whatever, like, and you're narrowing it down. Like this is like saying like 50, 80, 60% of your audience is this type of person, right? So yeah, you will attract older people and younger people, but I think the core audience, like I would say like maybe 60%, if not more, is going to be kids age, say like 7 and 18. Like I think that's their target audience. And you can tell just by the marketing, the colors, the characters, the music, and just the game in itself. Like it's like, I mean, a lot of parents have problems buying a game like Tekken or Mortal Kombat for the kids because they're super violent. But even though this is a fighting game, I don't think parents are going to flip out if their kids are playing ARMS. So that's Nintendo's target audience. That's the game that Nintendo's making. It might not appeal to someone who loves to play Mortal Kombat. That's fine. You don't have to play this game. It's not necessarily made specifically for you.
But there are aspects. Like there is the 9,000 combinations to try out with different characters and different gloves. Like there is the element of strategy that they're like pushing for.
Yeah.
For people like us that want a complex experience.
It's like it has similarities to how Smash is very inviting for younger, inexperienced fighting game players, but also has enough depth there for experienced players, so much so that it's, you know, such a, you know, Melee is such a popular tournament game. I think ARMS has the potential for that as well. It obviously seems like there's plenty of room for depth here. So I think that there will be people who discover, who get very, very good at this game. But I also think it's very approachable for somebody who doesn't play a lot of fighting games. You know, like me, an experienced gamer who, you know, yeah, I used to play Street Fighter 2, you know, a bit on my Super Nintendo and in the arcades. I was okay. I was never very, like, I was never great at it. But I would call myself relatively inexperienced, especially when it comes to modern day fighting games. So this, to me, looks a little more approachable.
I gotta say, we gotta move on, but Patrick, your idea of putting Little Mac in this game, oh my god, why have they not done it yet?
They will. He'll be a downloadable fighter, because you're getting all those free downloadable fighters in the future, remember?
That's part what's of their... huge here, is like Splatoon, you're talking about maps and guns, and that's cool, but when you're getting free fighters, that's a big selling point. Like,
free
that's
fighters and
huge.
Free arenas.
Yeah, that's gonna be huge.
Nintendo, you got my money. I want to buy the game. It's just a matter of can I afford it. But I'm telling you guys, like, come June, if I feel like I can, you know, spend $92 yet again on a game. And by the way, Randy, the TV editor, Goomba Stomp, he visited me in Montreal last week, and I took him to EB Games, and I was like, you got to check out the prices for these video games. They're out of control. He flipped out. It was like $92, $93, $91. So, yeah.
So, I guess, why don't we go ahead and just say one by one what we thought of the Direct overall, because I guess, like, the game, I'm sold on it, but the Direct itself, it started out a little slow for me, but what were your guys' thoughts on the Direct itself, and where are you with ARMS, yes or no? Like, buying it, not buying it. Why don't we start with Patrick?
I'm sort of with you on the Direct. I thought, I didn't really care as much when they were announcing new characters, you know, and how they play and everything like that. I felt like I was just watching more ARMS video. But once they got into the modes and everything, I got a lot more excited. So I, as far as buying it, I'm going to wait till the test punch, the global test punch. I want to get my hands on it. I want to be able to play it with the motion controls. I've heard they're very easy. I heard they're very intuitive. I know, Rick, you've said the same thing. And then a lot of other websites have had the chance to spend some time with the game, and they're all saying positive things about how it controls. Some of them even say they like it better than when they use the controller controls, which you can also play with. Nintendo has confirmed you can play with a controller.
Yeah.
It's just that a lot of people are saying they actually like it better. I think Game Explain, who does the frame rate stuff? It's not Game Explain. It's a whatever, the people that do, you know, the test performance of games. Anyway, they said that they liked the motion controls better than with the controller. So I want to get my hands on it, though. I want to try it, and I'll see how it plays. If it plays like I think it's going to, because it looks great, it's kind of like Splatoon with me, too, where I wasn't so interested in it first, but playing is what sold me. I wonder if this is going to be the same case, and I'm kind of hoping that it is, because ARMS could be a very cool game if I end up liking how it plays.
All right, how about you, Ricky?
I think the direct was okay. I think they did what they had to do. It was a little too long, maybe 5 minutes too long, but I think they did a good job overall. I'm sort of sold on the game. I do want to buy it, guaranteed. I think, I mean, look, I want it to be a success because I can see a game like ARMS branching out into something bigger, like not just ARMS 2, but even like, I don't know, a platformer or something, like using these characters across the board. Give us some amiibo, give us Little Mac. You give me a Little Mac and I'm guaranteed to buy this game. So I think it was fine. I mean, maybe 5 minutes too long, and I like the Splatoon 2 trailer at the end, which I gotta, man, I love the marketing right now for Nintendo. Like, I love the acid jazz soundtrack for that trailer. Like, it was so bizarre. It's something that came out of like a Portishead music video or something.
Dude, that's Splatoon music. It's awesome.
Yeah, so I think they did a really good job, and you know, it's tight. We didn't have any sort of like boring human people on screen like putting us to sleep. This is what they got to do, and I'm actually kind of like really excited for their E3 digital presentation. I think it's going to be a lot better than what they gave us last year and a year before. I think Nintendo knows what people want nowadays. Like, they've kind of like, you know, experimented. I think they kind of like know what to do. They know not to end a show with a 20-minute like parade of Super Mario Brothers music with people singing along that we just don't care for.
Yeah. No, I think the direct was pretty great. I liked it overall, but the beginning, when you reintroduce characters that you already introduced in the last direct, I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah, but you don't know if everyone watched the last direct.
That's fair. I'm very informed, so part of that is just my personal bias, since I do know. But once you got to like that halfway point, especially, and we got to see like the new modes, and then some of those maps looked super cool towards the end. There was one with like giant cubes coming out of the ground, and it looked like a disco. I was like, that's so rad looking. That looks like it's going to make the fight way different. Then it started to ramp up, and the direct was a lot cooler. And don't even get me started on the final 3 minutes of the direct. It was sensational. I loved it. That was everything that Nintendo was like built up to. I think you're right, Ricky. Like, literally no words, just like a quick like confirmation that we have a campaign for Splatoon. They didn't even have to say it. They didn't have to spell it out. They just showed it real quick. And it was a great video, and I couldn't be more excited for that game now. As far as ARMS, as soon as the Global Test Fire comes out, if it's as fun as it looks like it could be, then yeah, I'll be picking it up. But money is tight, especially since, you know, it's expensive flying to LA and staying in a hotel for a week. But, you know, free video games, totally worth it.
Are you staying in a hotel?
Yeah, I mean.
You're talking about E3?
Yep.
Are you going for a whole week?
I mean, it's like, what, five? I'll be there for like 5 days.
Yeah, it's Tuesday through Thursday, so yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to be there Monday, just in case. I got invited to like the Xbox debriefing. I'll like probably go to that, and that's on Sunday. So
okay, all right.
Anyway, that does it for our show. You, dear listener, where are you with ARMS? Are you into it? Not into it? Are you super stoked on the test fire? Excuse me, the test punch, like we are. Let us know. And what are you looking forward to in terms of E3? Is Ricky right? Are they showing next to nothing? Is Patrick right? Are they giving us a super surprise sequel from a third party? What are we going to get? Thank you guys for listening. Patrick, thank you for joining us. Where can we find you online?
You can always find me writing at Goomba Stomp, though I write probably more about movies than I do games. But I'm going to try to change that. I'm going to start writing game articles. But also, you can follow us at the NExpress Twitter handle, which is at NExpress Nintendo.
And Ricky, what about you?
On Twitter, Goomba Stomp Mag. I run the official Twitter account for Goomba Stomp, Goomba Stomp Mag. You can follow us on Tumblr, Pinterest, Facebook, you name it. Check out our website. I think I wrote up a few articles this week. I can't remember. No, I did. I just can't remember what I wrote. But yeah, that's it. And we're always looking for writers based in specifically the city of Austin, Montreal, Toronto, or San Francisco. I mean, writers are welcome no matter where you live, but if you live in one of those cities, your name gets bumped up the list.
Yeah, help us cover stuff. I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. You can also find me on GoombaStomp.com, where I have another podcast, Game Boys. Go listen to our latest episode. Totally worth it. I played Dungeons & Dragons for the first time ever, which was an experience. And I was joined by one of the writers from Goomba Stomp, Kat Lind. So she was on the show with us. It was a lot of fun. Go check that out. Totally worth it. Just a funny experience. All right, so that does it for our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We can't wait to talk to you guys more. Next week, we're going to do our, what are we calling it?
We're taking a week off.
Yeah, so don't tune in on Tuesday like normal. But the week after that, we're going to go ahead and do our Hall of Fame. Since our 100th episode, we'll have a special surprise. That's right, 100 episodes of NXpress. How have you guys listened to me for that long? I have no idea, but thank you for it. So keep tuning in. Got a lot of really, really cool stuff coming up. And then E3 right around the corner. So stay tuned. We'll talk to you guys more in 2 weeks. Yeah.